everybody. Welcome back to Ping. This is episode 243. That is 243 episodes of us bringing you the news that Microsofties are pinging each other about.
Good to see you, orange shirt.
It's been a little while.
I know.
It's been a while.
It's been almost a month.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Almost a month.
For a good reason. As you all probably know, we just had our annual build and our inaugural Ignite event. I get a little twitchy. My pet peeve is when people say first annual. It's inaugural.
Okay. Inaugural.
Anyway.
Two very large conferences that suck and consume a massive amount of time and resources for all the people to put them on.
It's a really, it's a period of time that the entire company at this point now doesn't stop, but it's all converging. You know, getting demos ready, cleaning up builds, and getting stuff ready to show off. And we show off a lot of cool stuff.
Tons.
We are not going to go over too much of that in here because there are tons of videos that you can go watch, literally probably thousands of hours, if not hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of videos you can watch right here on Channel 9. Feel free to do that. You were at Ignite.
Ignite was crazy. That just wrapped up time that we're recording this one here. Wrapped it up last week. Build was the week before that one there. I think it was Build or 2 weeks before that.
Build, no, Build, they were back to back.
Back
Build
to back
was
to back.
Wednesday to Friday. Ignite was the following Monday.
Little tired and crazy.
I know the 9 team took like a day off in between to see their families and then shipped off to Chicago. But it was an awesome time, lots of good stories there. As you can see, we may be a little tired from it though.
So
we'll try to do a good show for you guys. Last week, we talked about Goat Simulator coming to Xbox. Let's kick this off this way. And we gave a straw poll. What would you rather be, the goat or the long neck goat, which I believe was a giraffe. And turns out we're split. We've got about six on the goat side, or 46% on the goat side, 38% on the long note, and 15% said, what? That's what I'm assuming that option was.
I love it. We actually had 13 people that voted. That's amazing.
And a bunch of comments.
Yes.
Rare Encoder wants Rick to know that 12K monitor setups are all over YouTube.
Yes. How to set it up, however, not how to afford them.
Yeah, that's a lot of, that's a lot of monitors.
Yes, very much so.
Develop KC said, wonder if you could create a staff pad-like app, but instead of for musicians, being for developers. Two things there. One, we talked about staff pad 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Which was then in the keynote of Build.
It broke it.
Once again, yeah, get your news here first. Second, there was Touch Develop. Have you ever seen that? You're not much
on the developer
side. So Touch Develop was a phone app, I think it's still around, that lets you kind of do that, like drop conditionals and kind of draw like a graph of what you want to do. I remember making an app that would, every 60 seconds, would swap to a new song. It was kind of like a shuffle little algorithm. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you're doing something that you wanted to switch every 60 seconds, it would help you do it. So yeah, there are little things like that. It'd be very interesting to see something that used Pen for that, though.
I say Pen input for PowerShell.
I need to learn to use some new PowerShell.
I could do that. That'd be cool. And then we have Fabus Fads coming in and saying that he's going to be going for a lot of anal action craziness that's going on with that clip that we have on the show. But he's going with Long Neck. So he's in the Long Neck camp like me.
Yeah, and Rare Encoder also jumps in there and saying, judging by the number of road traffic accidents these goats get involved in, I'd warn against the longer neck. Maybe you'd be able to see further. I chose a long neck. I don't know.
Look over top of and get out of the way.
Or at least see it coming sooner, for better or worse.
I can definitely say my kids love the game.
Yeah.
They're playing it like crazy.
That's awesome.
They're playing like crazy.
Cool. Let's start the show.
One of those other breaking news stories that we had a couple episodes ago. I should probably look back in the archive, see which one it was.
A while ago.
We talked about Hyperlapse and what you can do with Hyperlapse and the ability to take a long stream of consciousness video, if you will, with a variety of different types of cameras, and then being able to go in and run this through a processor, or a processor, if you're American, to be able to go off and to smooth that all out through a bunch of different magical stuff that's going on. MSR actually went ahead and released a version of this you can now download and use for your phone. Also, it's going to be available for other platforms as well. And I actually downloaded it today to use it on my desktop back at the office.
Yes.
And I have a particular video clip. Maybe I'll even make it available. You can take a look at it.
We should.
As an example.
We should.
For how it works. But Hyperlapse will go through and basically smooth things out. The neat thing about the application when you run it on the Windows platform, as an example, goes through and it will ask you to select the type of camera you're shooting the video from, because it can actually optimize the rendering process based on the camera to be faster, as opposed to having to go through every couple of frames.
Now, is it like asking you what camera it is, or like what resolution?
No, it actually literally asks you, is this a GoPro Hero, blah, 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 is this a this, is this a that? Because it can take the EXIF data from that camera. It knows better what frames to use and what to be able to do to stitch together.
Or like, yeah, GoPro is more of like a fisheye lens and cameras. That's super cool. It's a way for, another way of artistically treating your videos, especially one that clearly you're not too worried about the audio.
Yep.
Give you a little speed up.
It's available right now for Windows Phone. It's coming out for other platforms and also available today for a download on Windows 8, 8.1.
A whole bunch of updates on the Xbox platform. Let's go through some of them quickly. The last month's update is now out to users that allows you to send voice messages to your friends easier, which is nice if you don't want to have to slowly type a message. You can quickly record and send those. They show up as little waveforms in your chat log.
I'm just glad it's not T9 input, A-A-A-C-C-C.
I've gotten kind of quick on the sticks on the keyboard. Yeah. It's a little scary. But the preview that is now out, we have monthly updates to the platform.
Yeah, crazy, man.
Includes Miracast support, so you don't need a dongle. Your Xbox One itself is a Miracast receiver, which is super awesome if you have that. Can display any of your Windows devices, or actually lots of devices, anything that uses the Miracast standard on there. You can now do power on and off from Smart Glass, so you just tap the little connection, choose the Xbox you would like on your network, because you can have multiple connected and then say on or off on there. You need to have the instant on feature, obviously, so it's in low power mode.
So you're telling me I can turn the Xbox off on my kids and they wouldn't know?
Yeah. You could also just yell Xbox off. Probably shouldn't do that. OTA live TV support. We recently talked about that for the US and Canada. Yep. That'll be coming out. And then opt-in power mode, where the initial setup experience will now let you select the power mode you prefer. I think initially it just automatically put you on instant on. Now it's an option during setup. So that's cool. The other thing I want to talk about is EA Access. So EA Access, we talked about a while ago. I am a subscriber, full disclaimer. For $5 a month or a lower yearly fee, you get a couple of features. You get a discount on games. So I believe it's 10% on EA games. You get trials. So up to 6 hours on some titles to try before you buy. And you get early release. So a couple updates. One is that they announced that Madden NFL 16, the perennial football powerhouse that it is, will be available on Xbox One via EA Access before anyone else can play. Also, and this is one I'm totally taking advantage of, is they just added things to their vault. So this is my favorite feature, is if you subscribe, there are just games that you play for free.
Is it a one-time fee for the year?
It is $5 a month, or I think I did the
5 times 40. 12 is 16.
It's discounted for if you do the
40. Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
I can't remember what it is. It's less than 60. So like the price of a game.
Yeah.
But they just added FIFA, NHL, and Madden 15. So if you, you can play all those for free. So I just started playing NHL, which is a great time. We're in the middle of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah,
super
totally,
psyched.
Man.
Just watched my Rangers win the other night. Awesome Game 7 action. So you can just try it out for the 1 month, too. $5 for the rest of the month. You can play all their games for free. Again, get 6-hour trials of games like Dragon Age Inquisition, Plants vs. Zombies, Garden Warfare is in there, Battlefield 4 is in there. You can almost just play everything on there and be kind of full of games.
So totally.
If you're into sports, let's see, it's primarily sports. There's a couple others, like I said, first-person shooters. But so that's the updates on there. Really excited to be on the platform. So much to play now that we have some off time from conference season. So I'm looking forward to continuing my franchise mode or BGM mode in NHL when I get back home.
Longtime Ping viewers will know that I'm a fan of the Lumia 1020.
The big old camera phone.
The big camera phone. The B, C, P? Big camera phone? I'm kind of a little slow today. Anyway, big fan of that one there. It's got a great 41 megapixel camera and a 2.2 aperture, so it gives you a nice tight depth and also works very well in low light. Well, not just myself, but others have used that phone an awful lot as well. And actually, Microsoft just did one of those other people stories that they did a little while ago. This time it's with Steven Alvarez. or Alvarez?
Yes.
Yes, both of them. He's a photographer for National Geographic who was basically challenged to go and to shoot seven wonders of the world using only Lumia devices.
That's not a bad gig.
That's a pretty cool gig, for sure. And so they go through the story about how he's gotten into photography and his background, that sort of stuff, and the whole concept of how he's absolutely totally comfortable with using digital cameras and DSLRs and sort of stuff, and where it goes with it. But he got started, actually, because him and a friend went to go for their very first gig for National Geographic and photograph, you know, entry to and up above Everest. And then, you know, it was funny, they were talking about how he was concerned about how the phones would react as cameras inside the freezing cold of Everest.
Right.
But they're made in Helsinki.
That's
and
true.
They said it's actually colder in Helsinki than it is in Everest. So there was absolutely no problem for him to be able to do it. The only problem that he had was actually getting altitude sickness because he went from underground to 18,000 feet up. In a span of a couple of days.
Yeah, that's a common
And it
common
actually caused him issues that he didn't tell anyone, including going partially blind in his left eye, which he kept to himself because he didn't want to seem like he was weak, I guess, to be able to finish the photography journey.
I may say something.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the quote is, you know, a little cold, no food, no sleep. We're used to that kind of stuff as far as being able to go off and do photography. So they decided to firm up the idea when they went for the Dubai launch of the 1520. Which is a 20 megapixel camera and a 6-inch screen, nice large phablet sized device. And those are the two cameras that they used to finish off the individual photography assignment that they did. You know, besides the fact the phones obviously work for being able to send phone calls and texts and other things. So great pictures, great story for what it is. And so he's gone ahead and done a nice little picture of everything. And a nice story of everything as well.
Yeah, the photos look amazing. I mean, clearly he knows what he's doing.
Oh yeah.
And he even says, like, the whole idea is for the camera not to be the focus of anything.
Yeah.
So you want to just capture what you're seeing. And I think that he really does a good job of showing that in this.
So they talk about how it doesn't matter how good the camera is that you left in your hotel room. The idea is that as long as you have something in your hand that can take a picture, you're the one that's actually interpreting what's coming through the lens. Go ahead and take those pictures. Good story.
Many of our viewers may be familiar with the online comic XKCD, written by Randall Munroe, which is a bit of geekery, math humor, all sorts of little tidbits. It's been going for years, a very long time. And recently, or I guess a while ago, wasn't that soon, he posted a comic called Up Goer 5, which was an annotated blueprint of the Saturn V rocket. Has all the parts annotated, kind of, and it's, again, some of this geeky space humor. Well, he just recently, on the 13th, announced that he's publishing a collection of 9-inch by 13-inch of all sorts of those kinds of blueprints in a book titled Thing Explainer. The subtitle is Complicated Stuff in Simple Words.
I like those.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's going to be an interesting kind of book.
Yeah.
Again, in that same theme of explaining complex objects, he gives some examples such as computer buildings and tectonic plates and airliner cockpit controls, which are all things if you look at, or you almost get saturated in your brain and go,
Oversaturated easily.
My favorite is the cockpits. Have you ever seen when you walk into a plane? Like, there are so many buttons.
They don't let me in cockpits for a reason.
So the book will be published on November 24th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon and several other places. IndieBound is one of the other ones. And you can go ahead and get that, start your Christmas shopping, I suppose. And for any of your geeks in your life.
For some reason, beer always comes up as a topic. When news items arise to the top, like bubbles from the bottom of a beer can,
like,
right?
Ferment to the top.
You got it, when they ferment to the top. And so an intrepid, sometimes host and also watcher, Joey Snow, came up and pointed this one out to me this morning. Man Can is on Kickstarter right now, which is basically putting a brewery in your fridge, not in a growler. That's the tagline for what it is.
So it's not like a dad bod.
It is.
Is that your name?
Basically, it's a. They already have a 64-ounce Man Can, which is half a gallon. That is a small metal growler that has a TAP attachment and CO2 mm-hmm. attachment, and they're doing a Kickstarter to be able to try to raise enough cash to be able to build a 128-ounce version of Arizona's 1 gallon.
So say your 64-ounce is the, your normal growler, right?
Right.
So usually a half gallon?
Right.
So the idea is you go with your growler to whatever microbrew or brewery that fills growlers.
Fills growlers.
Fill it, put it in your fridge, attach this top, and you basically have a keg in your fridge.
You got a keg in your fridge.
That's not a bad deal.
You can also use it so that you can, if you're in brewing like I am, you can actually go and force carbonate small amounts of beer to see how it works in different amounts of tests, which is quite good. It's actually really cool. The format of it looks like a customized top that has different attachments for both gas and also for delivery mechanism. Mm. Delivery mechanism can be a Cobra tap, as we call it in the beer industry, or it can be in a regular size tap like a Perlick. another one that we
I
like.
I don't know any of these terms.
I'll have to introduce you. But more importantly, it has a small refillable or exchange an interchangeable CO2 attachment, like you would find like a CO2 gun or something like that, like a pellet gun, but more importantly, a pressure regulator, because you want to be able to control that pressure.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's available to keep it all nice and clean, and because it is a closed system, the beer does not go bad.
Right.
So, fill up a gallon, put it inside your fridge, charge it up, and you're serving beer, and it's going to be good. Take a look at that Kickstarter. They got a bunch of different options and sizes and packs, including laser engraving, multi-packs. They have one that they're calling the Groomsman Kit. is able to give to your groomsmen that
not
can be laser engraved. They even have a special version that looks like it's simply a decorative tower topper as well.
So yeah, this is a Kickstarter with about 4 weeks to go, so plenty of time to check it out. It is not completely funded yet, but if you're interested, take a look.
I still have not received my U-keg. It's coming. That's another version of this type of beer delivery system.
I've gotten about 80% of my Kickstarters.
Hey, man, I'm going to be bringing it on the show and doing a demonstration when it arrives.
Or before the show.
Or before the show or during the show. Who knows? Go check it out on Kickstarter. Links are there inside the details below.
Yep.
And hopefully they maybe even played a video while we were talking.
Thanks for watching episode 243. That is 243 bings in the can.
Ooh.
Coming up on that 250, we're saying it's about 2 months away. We will make plans for a, not a huge thing, but something special for you guys.
I don't know what. We could do it in a brewery. Not just a bar, just go in a brewery.
I like it.
Never know.
On 200, we did a little bit of behind the scenes. Actually, Nas and Larry and the crew just did a behind the scenes of the Channel 9 studio video. So
totally, yeah.
You should check that out too. It was really cool. Right before build time, Friday, they put that out.
Yeah.
So we want to continue the conversation with you as always. So please follow us on Twitter, continue the conversation on Twitter via
hashtag
PingShow. Individually at Mark DeFalco.
And I'm at SignRexterCDN.
Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/ThePingShow.
And you can also get one of these nice little Channel 9 guys if you happen to send us some snail mail. We were recently caught up and being able to get them all out, so you should have received them. Send us to The Ping Show, care of Channel 9, Building 20, 1 Microsoft Way, Redmond, Washington, 98052.
Excellent.
And the question of the week.
As always, comment below. We'll give you a question. Which actually doesn't even involve words.
Yeah.
We talked about Steven Alvarez, the National Geographic photographer, who had taken photos of all seven wonders of the world with his Lumia. We're going to ask you to post some of your work-safe photos that you've taken with your Lumias or other Windows devices or whatever,
I've got a bunch. I actually took a bunch over at Ignite.
Did you?
Yeah.
I didn't see what I've taken
recently. Should I tell you what it is now or just wait till I post it?
Just post it.
Okay. You'll see it
everyone's
there.
Surprised.
I'm going to post it the first one.
But yes, go ahead. I feel bad now mentioning that, you know, he did pictures of the seven wonders of the world. I'm sure your photos are going to be great.
Just as good. and we will be checking EXIF data to make sure they're taken on a Lumia phone.
Are we?
Yeah. It's part of the regulations.
Sounds good to me. Thanks for watching. We will see you next week.
See you around. Oh, yes! With the camera. Right in the leg. Woohoo!